Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's Israel. And I'm going to talk to my friend Barry Siegel, who has a ministry in Israel that we've worked with for several years. And we're doing it again by helping to raise money for an ambulance, or the Israeli equivalent of the American Red Cross. They call it Maged David Adom. And I'm just so excited to do this. We're having a big Standing with Israel rally here in Orlando. And I realize that most people watching can't really come, but it's on November 13th. And you'll get information before the podcast is over on how you can register. So, Barry, thank you for fitting me in. I know there's quite a time difference between us and you in Jerusalem. But let me ask you, there's a lot I want to talk about, but I want to start with October 7th. We're all aware of that. What were you doing on October 7th, and what's your analysis of that whole situation?
Well, on October 7th, 2023, my wife, who gets up much earlier than I do, was already listening to the news at about 6:30 a.m. in the morning. It was Simchat Torah, which is actually a Jewish holiday here, and the end of the Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. But she listens a lot to radio, as opposed to me watching a lot of TV or video. And she was already hearing on the news that there were a massive barrage of rockets and missiles hitting from Gaza Strip over to the southern communities of Israel. And it was just nonstop. And I think the news announcers were also curious as to the extent of what was going on. And as the 30 minutes, hours unfolded, of course, we began to see that it was a much more serious event that was taking place, and an attack on Israel where over 30 breaches took place along the Gaza Strip into the southern communities of Israel. And things were getting much worse. At 10:15 in the morning, it began to leak out that many Israelis had been killed, massacred, but it seemed like they were keeping the news at a low level. And the other thing happened was I was taking a shower at 10:15 a.m. when my wife called out with our younger daughter, Liran, and shouted, "Get out of the shower. There is a missile attack towards Jerusalem and the sirens are blaring." And I shouted back, "I'm not getting out of the shower. I have shampoo in my hair." And 30 seconds, about 20 to 30 seconds later, there was a huge boom, and a missile provided by Iran crashed into our street 500 feet away from our door. And then I proceeded to leave the shower.
And you went to a bomb shelter, of course. And then what it was like, because the news over here has said, and I'm sure this is true, that this on this day, more Jews died than on any other day since the Holocaust.
That's correct. Basically, nearly 1,200 Israelis were killed and massacred, including also foreign students and agricultural workers from other countries like the United States, France, Thailand, and several other countries. And they were literally massacred. And it was the worst massacre of Jews since, as you said, since the Holocaust. But more than that, if you put a ratio equivalent to how many would that mean would have been killed in the United States, we're talking about close to 40,000 Americans being killed in one day.
Wow. And that's compared to 3,000 or 4,000 who were killed on 9/11, which was, you know, our greatest tragedy since, I guess, World War II. So talk to me about the need for an ambulance. You know, we're having this rally here in Orlando. A lot of it is just us to show love to the Jewish community locally and build bridges of respect, and also to make a statement publicly with all this anti-Semitism that we're seeing recently making a statement that the Christian community stands in solidarity with the Jewish community. But the Jewish community are excited that we're raising money from a Get David a Dome because, of course, you know, they raise a lot of money, too. And this is the Israeli equivalent of the American Red Cross. And we've done this before. A number of years ago, we raised money for an ambulance. And this year, we're actually, and later in the podcast, we'll show a picture. There are several different emergency vehicles that come as different price points. And we'll buy the one where the fundraising comes in. So we need people to stay tuned and also, you know, agree to stand with us. But talk to us about the need, because you've seen it. You're over there. You've raised money for other ambulances. Just kind of bring us up to date, because most of us don't really know what the situation is over there.
Right. So as co-founder with my wife of Vision for Israel, one of our big projects has been bomb safety shelters. Another has been extending ourselves to Holocaust survivors and victims of terror attacks. But in the last 10 years, especially, we've also extended ourselves to overseeing the project together with Magen David Adom and other emergency services to provide emergency vehicles such as ambulances, motorcycles, ATV, fire and emergency response vehicles, as well as bulletproof vehicles, and also a blood mobile. So we, because we factor in a great deal of responsibility for accountability to see through these projects and to make sure that the ambulances are on the road and that we get the follow-up statistics, we know exactly which vehicles are needed, where they're needed, and what the process involved is. And that's my job of overseeing it. So it so happens that I'm also the vice president of Magen David Adom in the United Kingdom. And so I have a direct line to the manufacturers of these vehicles as well. And we just actually donated just a few weeks ago with the mayor of Modi'in, we actually donated the first new ambulance vehicle, an intensive care vehicle, 2-bed ambulance for mass casualties. We just raised enough and donated it just a few weeks ago. It was the first new ambulance in the Jewish New Year that took place. So we require a great deal of accountability. I was just together with their entire board from all over the world. We were hosted by the president of Israel and his wife. We had a wonderful time there. And I can assure you the need is great, because every year about 10% of the fleet of ambulances is actually retired. After 10 years, it's pretty much exhausted the use of that vehicle. And so we're here to make sure that we replenish according to what's most needed. And I'll just hold up. I don't know if you'll see this clearly, but this is every vehicle we've ever donated, which is 20 of them now. We have the statistics of every single vehicle and broken down into the various incidences. So, for instance, 64% of this particular vehicle took care of adult medical emergencies. 1% was victims of violence. Traffic accidents was 6%, other injuries 12%. And I have a whole list breakdown. Women in labor, 6%. We've had several women give birth in ambulances that we've donated. So the need is great, because the fleet is also changing and retiring and also requires a lot of maintenance. And what happened on October 7th was, 7th and 8th, 39 volunteers and paramedics to Magen David Adom were murdered as a result of the war. And that was a big situation. And you can even hear on some of the dispatchers calls for help, and there was no way they could get in to some of the places like Kibbutz Be'eri and Kfar Aza in the south, where the greatest amount of massacring took place, that and the Nova Festival. But we're doing our part. And I believe that by doing this, Steve, it's a blessing not only to Israel, but we're literally saving lives. we have to understand that that date, 1,938 Israelis, as I have listed, were killed. And in the war, we've had 920 fallen IDF soldiers so far. So, and I want the people to understand and the podcast to understand, we haven't just been facing rockets since October 7th, 2023. We've been facing rockets since the early, like around 2001. We're talking about an estimated 32,390 rockets, missiles, and projectiles shot at Israel from seven different fronts.
Well, we are so glad to work with you because, as you mentioned, this accountability and integrity is so important. And we know and trust your ministry. As you know, we've been friends for 25 years at least. And we've, over the years, we've done several projects together through our nonprofit, which is called Christian Life Missions, which we're doing on this too. So our goal is to raise $100,000. Every dollar that we raise, whether it's through the podcast, through mailings that we do, through Christian Life Missions, through Charisma Media, through taking up an offering when we have our Standing with Israel, and a lot of people in the Jewish community will stand with us too. Every single dollar is going to go toward this project, and we have confidence that Vision for Israel will, I'm impressed with the few statistics that you quoted. And, you know, there's probably integrity with other ministries as well. But sometimes you hear stories about how there's fundraising and a lot of it goes to the fundraising cost and very little gets to the project. That's not the case here. The money for all the promotion we're doing, our Standing with Israel, that's being fundraised separately so that we can devote every dollar. And it's hard to hit the number exactly. So because there's different emergency vehicles of different price points, we're able to buy whatever matches kind of our donations. And each one of them is going to be helpful. Isn't that true?
Yes, every one of them is. And I think it's important because we were talking about this earlier, you and I, you know, with all the peace talks and the ceasefire being announced and all that, is this war really over yet? And I would say no. It is not over yet, and we don't have any privilege here in Israel to become complacent. And I want the Christian audience and the Jewish audience to understand that we cannot be complacent. The countdown to the next October 7th has already begun. They have not. Our enemies have not renounced their desire or their purpose and goal to destroy the state of Israel and the Jewish people, and not just here in Israel, but globally across communities throughout the world. So we're firmly committed to, together with you in this project, we literally want to save lives. That's what this is all about. That's why we love overseeing this whole project with ambulances and emergency vehicles, because every life we save is a life that has an eternal future at stake. And we want to be part of that redemptive process. And I think it's important for Jews, Christians, Druze, even Muslims who love Israel. And there are quite a few, actually. Let me just say this. One of the crane crews we work with is a Bedouin Muslim crew. They love Israel. They're citizens of Israel. And they also lost some of their own members in this October 7th, 2023 attack. And they even sent some of their own people to help the young people to rescue them. So it's also important that the everybody listening understands Israel's a nation, not an apartheid nation. I had to take, believe it or not, my wife, Batya, who you know, we had to send her in an ambulance, first time ever in our lives to be in an ambulance. And it was an ambulance of Magen David Adom because she was having what we thought was maybe a heart attack, but it wasn't, thank God. And I beat the ambulance, by the way, to the Hadassah hospital, but which, I mean, I should probably be one of their drivers maybe. But it was a privilege to actually be able to use the services of the very organization we're working with on these particular vehicles. But, you know, if it had been something serious, it's life-saving. And I think that's so important for all of us to keep in mind. When we've, as the Talmud says, when we've saved one life, we've saved the whole world. It's like saving the whole world.
Absolutely. And I want to talk to you about the peace plan, but I want to be sure that I communicate this, and we will put it on the screen as well. But you can go to a website called nighttohonorisrael.org. And that's the website for our event. Our event is being called Standing with Israel. And on that website, you can see what we're doing, and there's a place to donate. And we hope that many people want to donate online. So tell me about the peace plan. You know, you seem to not really believe that it's going to hold. What is the attitude there in Israel?
Well, I think there was a tremendous speech given by President Donald Trump. I thought it was fantastic. I think almost every Israeli, if not all Israelis, except for maybe the extreme left wing, thought it was a great speech at the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. I think most people in Israel, if not, I would say most of the Jewish population, would recognize that he's probably proven to be the greatest friend to Israel that any U.S. president has ever been. Of course, we look back to Harry S. Truman, who, of course, acknowledged Israel in the United Nations as a sovereign state against even some of his State Department advisors, but oil was a big issue then. But I think, you know, President Trump has definitely proven himself by moving the embassy from the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and acknowledging the annexation, rightfully so, of the Golan Heights, as well as, you know, standing with Israel in this war, unlike the previous administration, which I don't need to get into. But I think all that's positive. But I think there still is an American kind of character that says America's number one in the world. We can prove ourselves with our might and a strong, image can put our enemies at bay and cause them to fear and shudder. But I think that's a bit naive. And that's where I change course with what's happening right now. That actually Hamas has no intention of giving up their arms, the weapons. They have no intention of releasing their power, their authority in the Gaza Strip and letting go of their power base. They have already said this verbally over and over again. And as soon as the ceasefire began, they already started attacking Israeli soldiers in what is, I would call, the buffer zone. And actually, at least three of our soldiers were killed in the Rafah area that is along the corridor with Egypt. And they have also, even last night at 1 a.m. in the morning, I was woken up to another potential missile attack coming from the Gaza Strip. So they've let it be known over and over again in Arabic and in English that this wasn't the first October 7th. They're going to try to do that again and again. 50% of the tunnels have still not been destroyed by the IDF. We've pulled out of the central city areas like the Gaza Strip and Khan Yunis. So they're back to business as usual. And so the question is, when President Donald Trump and Vice President Vance and the State Department head Marco Rubio, who I have tremendous respect for, have shown their willingness to stand with Israel, but say that they're going to disarm Hamas. Either they're going to volunteer to disarm Hamas itself, or that America will do, that is a big, really big question. And I think Israelis are beginning to have doubt again and beginning to prepare for the option that another October 7th will be attempted. As I said, it's not the first time, it's not the last time. And the question is, will the United States stand together with what it's saying, or will they become naive? And I'm an American citizen, a US citizen proudly, as well as an Israeli citizen. So I have these same concerns as an Israeli, as well as an American, because I think at the core of Islamic jihadism, and if anybody reads the English translation of the Hamas doctrine and constitution, as well as the PLO, the Palestinian Authority, everybody will see in plain sight they are dedicated to the destruction of Israel. And I don't think the Arab allied armies in this agreement, I still haven't figured out if it's 20 points or 21 points, but I don't think that anybody realizes that they have never, our enemies have never renounced their desire to destroy Israel and the Jewish people and to set up one state in the Middle East. And that's not an Israeli state. It's an Islamic state, like ISIS would preach.
Well, as we wrap up this short podcast, I want to talk about a scripture that you know very well. It's Genesis 12:3, which says, I will bless those who bless Israel. And then it goes on to say, and in you, all the families of the world will be blessed. And to me, that is the basis of our support of Israel. I believed all my life the Jews are God's chosen people. Of course, the roots of Christianity come out of Judaism. Christianity could not exist without Judaism. Most of our Bible is the Hebrew scriptures. I mean, most people would know this. And I've been asked by Jewish friends why I support Israel so strongly, and I believe it's because God will bless those who bless Israel. And so talk to me about some well-known figures. Tucker Carlson comes to mind, somebody that I've admired and watched for a long time, of course. But when Ted Cruz was on his podcast recently, And Ted Cruz quoted the scripture I just did about God will bless those who bless Israel. Tucker was saying that's not good enough, and he was kind of tacking. So what do you think?
Well, I really stand with you in all this, and I'm Jewish. I mean, I'm 100% Jewish, and even I, in my own spirit, know from scripture I need to bless Israel. And I think we've proven it. I'll comment on what you just said, but I think we've proven it where the rubber meets the road in our own ministry organization, Vision for Israel. As we have blessed, God has blessed us in return to even build bigger and do greater things than I ever could have imagined possible in the over 30 years that Vision for Israel has been on the ground. And I believe it's true in your work with Charisma and also with Christian Life's missions. And I think when, first of all, I applaud Ted Cruz for taking such a stand for Israel, as well as Ambassador Mike Huckabee, and standing against this anti-Semitism. And I think Tucker's just totally gotten it wrong. He's missing the boat on this, and I hope his influence won't cause others to miss the boat. I think it's imperative and important for the Christian church globally to stand with Israel, because our destiny is interwound together with the covenants of Scripture, the covenants of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I'm all in on this.
Well, thank you for that. And let's take the last couple of minutes that we have to try to encourage people. I want to persuade people to give to this project. There are many good projects to give to, but this one is coming up. It's now. Is something tangible. This is a tangible way to show our support of Israel. And I'll just mention this, that we're planning our event on November 13th, which will be at the Sheraton Maitland for those who live in Central Florida. But we are going to take up an offering. The admission is free, but we're raising money for this project. We'll take up an offering, and we're going to do what they often do in Black churches. We're going to invite people to come forward to give their offering and say, in so doing, you are making a visible statement that you stand with Israel, you know, whether they give $5 or $50 or $500, they're making a statement to stand with Israel. So I'm not real used to fundraising like this. I very, very, very rarely do it on my podcast, but I just wanted to use this opportunity even to put on our website and so forth to encourage people to support Israel. My wife and I have stepped up to the plate. Of course, what we give is private, but I'm not asking anyone to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. So I'm going to give you the last word in the minute or so that we have left.
I always believe that I'm one that stands up together with my brothers and sisters and say that whatever you raise, we're also going to chip into this project because we think it's noble. We understand the importance of saving lives, both physically and spiritually, and we're all in. We're just really appreciative to your efforts, Stephen, and all those on your team. And for November 13th, I would just encourage everybody that can make it that evening to come on out and to join with you in this. And I promise you, we will show you the statistics after the end of the first year and show you the fruit of what God is doing and how he can use a practical vehicle to literally save lives in so many different ways. And I think it'll warm people's hearts to know that as you are able to get back to them. And I'm just looking forward to it. I'm excited, and I think it's something we can do on a regular basis by God's grace until he comes. I think it's part of the dispensation of his kingdom, how we can show our love for Israel, but also govern properly the finances of God's people and be a blessing to Israel, but also see that blessing come upon Christians everywhere.
Thank you for watching this long. It lets me know that you have a heart for Israel. And one of the reasons we're having this rally and raising this money is to encourage people in the Christian community to stand with our Jewish friends, especially with the anti-Semitism. We each of us need to speak out against it. And our rally on November 13th in Orlando, or in a suburb called Maitland at the Sheraton Hotel, you can find out more information on our website, which is nighttohonorisrael.org. And so I hope that you will come. If you're local, share this podcast with other people. We'll be promoting it in lots and lots of ways online and through emails and everything else. But I wanted to talk to Barry to explain to people why we're doing it, why we are raising money for an ambulance for Maged Dovida Dome. We're doing it to show unconditional love, knowing that God blesses those who bless Israel.